Well, good morning, everyone. If you would please stand. Let's turn to page 322. Let's sing all three verses.
Stand up for Jesus, the soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes, let courage rise with
for Jesus. Indeed, it's good to be here again this morning. We've had a tremendous week, our missions conference, and it's a blessing to be back here Sunday morning to worship our great God. A lot been going on, and we can't begin to thank the Lord enough. But today, we need to take care of today. Worship the Lord today. So please, it's great to see visitors in our midst. We thank the Lord for sending you our way. It's our blessing to have you with us, and we trust that our church family and the preaching and the worship of our great God will be a blessing to you. Please be praying for Dr. Hudson, our evangelist, that the Lord might be pleased to anoint him in a special way, give his word that unique unction for each and every one of our hearts. What we want to do right now is take a couple moments, get around, welcome each other. Church family, make sure you get by and welcome our visitors.
Thank you.
you return back to your seats, let's also remain standing and turn to page 96. Page 96. Sing the first and last verse.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray. Hark, from the shepherd's fold away, bring them in from the fields of sin. Desert, hear their cry, out from the mountains wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee, go find the sheep wherever they be.
stand with us once more. Let's turn to page 109. 109.
Comes ringing on the restless waves in the night, there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, in the night, in the light, there's a gospel light that it shines, a torch
announcements. I did want to remind that on the back table there beside Brother Hudson's display and also at the Welcome Center is the new missions directory. Please, especially our church family, I want to make sure you know who all of our missionaries are, our sponsored missionaries from Metropolitan Baptist Church. We have six of those. We're so thankful for God's mercy to us that a church our size has six missionary families sent from our church. We also support 65 other missionaries that were part of their ministries. And so please, information's there about them. Then there's also a little booklet back there on the table. It has a little bit of information about the different missionaries that were with us this week. Of course, there's a schedule and so forth in there. If you're here today, you're on schedule. You're right on schedule. We're glad for that. And what a blessing it's been this week. And, of course, we'll be taking up our faith promise offering after the invitation this morning. And please be praying about that. Brother Daniel, come.
Man, please come forward for the offering. It's good to be here with you this morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church, and visitors and missionaries. It's good to have y'all. It's been a great, like Pastor said, it's been a great week. It's my first full mission conference to be able to be at every part of it. And it was just a blessing. I learned so much about faith promise. I learned so much about individual missionaries and just a fellowship with Brother Aaron and his wife and just talk about what God's taking him to do over there in Brazil. And we got to talk about coffee, a lot about coffee, and I learned a lot. I thought I liked coffee, but he likes coffee a lot better than I, more than I do. But the Carter family and having the services on the morning services, and it was a blessing. I learned so much. Brother Wayne also been talking about the church, and I've been learning so much this week. It's been a blessing, and it's been a blessing. Brother Tunnel came in our in our class this morning, and he did a real God blessed him with that message, and I appreciate it. But we still got the fellowship today. After this service, we'll be having the fifth Sunday setting thing going on, and we have the men's breakfast the 27th at 9 a.m. and ladies' fellowship Tuesday the 23rd at 7 p.m. in pastor's class. Get with Miss Marsha if you want to know any details. And we got the Project Nativity Drama meeting on the 23rd and the 25th, and all these other days that my wife put on here. If you can, see Starla, the Fuffle Winners, and Brother Hudson have a new letter at the Welcome Center. Please pick one up, and or at the mission their mission ministries. Don't forget your to turn your clock back on the 3rd. So that says here, so that you won't be late to church. All of you are always here on time. So, and the upcoming TTU, November the 5th and the 9th at 7 to 10 p.m. Brother Hudson will be teaching historical books. For more information, talk to him about it. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this day, and Lord, just for the missions that are here, the missions that we sponsor. And the missions that came to visit, and just what a blessing it's been this week, Father God. And we thank you for the fellowship, for the food, just all the blessings that you pour on us, Lord. And we're so grateful. We thank you for our community, that we get to be witnesses to them, Lord. And Father, just to represent you and to live for you, Father God. We love you. We thank for we pray for the offering, and pray that you bless it, Lord. And we thank you for your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in His mighty name that we pray. Amen.
On my knees I bow before you with a heavy heart inside, questioning my purpose here. Lord, help me realize you are more than just a picture. You're more to me than life. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I want to be of service, Lord. You're more than just a picture. You're more than life to me. Fill me with your wisdom, Lord, to help some soul in need. A searching soul who doesn't know that you are all they need. And when my time on earth is done, and I stand before your throne, I want to hear your words, Lord. Welcome home, my child, well done. You are more than just a picture. You're more to me than life. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I want to be of service, Lord. You're more than just a picture. You're more than life to me. You are more than just a picture. You're more than life to me.
Indeed, the Lord is everything, isn't He? More than life, indeed. It's wonderful. But Brother Hudson has been preaching all week. We'll be doing that after the service. Anyway, had a little direction back there. But Brother Hudson has been preaching through Wednesday, since Wednesday, and we're so thankful for God putting on His heart. I know, as I say that, Brother Hudson has been delivering his heart. And it's that which God had put on his heart for us. And I'm so grateful. Friday night was a tremendous message and dealt with me in a tremendous way. And so looking forward to what God would have for us in this hour. Please, as the Word of God is declared, as the Word of God is preached, focus. Let the Lord, God the Holy Spirit, focus your attention, focus your heart upon what God would be saying to us. Don't worry about what He might be saying to the guy next to you, but what God is saying to you. Might we have ears to hear? Amen. Brother, come pray.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you this morning. Isn't it good to have some sunshine? I felt like I was in Oregon or somewhere for a while. We were up there a couple of years ago preaching. I told Stacy I couldn't live up here. The highways were mildewed. Everything. I like it where the sun shines. Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 11. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. You may think, where in the world is he going now? I'm going to try to preach on this thought, that your giving is not in vain. It comes out of a strange passage, I'll grant you that. You come to the book of Ecclesiastes. My best description of this book, and I'll try to get to it in a minute, but did you ever go to a, did you ever do a lab report? You go to the lab, you do some experiment, and you have to write a report. You got to write a reason for the experiment, and you've got to make your observations of what took place when you did the experiment. And then you've got to come to a final conclusion. Well, my outline of this book is exactly that. In verse chapter number 1 and 2, he gives you his reasons, his initial reasons for the book. And then in chapters 3 down through 10, he'll give you his observations. And when you get there, old Solomon's going to give you his trial of pleasures, possessions, wisdom, accomplishments. He's going to give you the whole list of all the details that he's tried. And then he's going to come to the final conclusions. That's chapter 11 and chapter 12. And I want to read with you in chapter number 11 as he begins to give us a final report. Verse 1, why don't you stand? Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Give you a time to get your legs stretched out, get the kinks out, get your head cleared, and also it makes it easier to give attention to the Word of God. He says in verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. If the tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they shall both be alike good. Truly, the light is sweet. We can say that this morning. That light is sweet this morning. Truly, the light is sweet and a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, let him remember that the days of darkness, remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Let's pray. Brother, would you pray for us, brother?
Lord, that our spirit would be receptive towards the word, that we take it, and we would hide it in our heart, that we might not sin against thee. And Lord, may we be found faithful this morning in listening and being good servants to you. God, I pray that you would just bestow upon Brother Hudson, Lord, these words that you have placed in his heart and his mouth. Lord, that he would be that vessel, Lord, filled with your spirit this morning.
Yes.
Lord, as he just continues to speak the word of God, Lord, that you would just give him a presence and your spirit to be dwelled upon him, Lord, that he might just speak to our hearts. God, I just pray and just thank you, Lord, for what you've already done in this conference, Lord. Lord, the words that have been spoken, and Lord, the truth that has been taught. And God, may I pray, Lord, that if there is somebody here this morning that does not know you as Savior, Lord, that they would hear the truth, Lord, about your salvation, that they would come to know you before it's everlasting. God, be with our missionaries around the world, Lord, as some have already preached and taught, and those who are preparing. Lord, be with the hearts and the minds of those, Lord, who have received the word and have stepped into your churches around the world, Lord, not knowing why, but knowing that they're drawn to the truth, that they're drawn to you, Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just be with our churches, Lord, as they are preaching and teaching this morning as well. Lord, with the children's churches and with the Sunday school hour, Lord, what a blessing and blessing to be part of that. And God, may we just reap your blessing again this morning during your service. Just have your will and your way and your hands upon us this morning. And it's in your precious holy name we pray. Lord Jesus.
Amen. 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 You can be seated. Ecclesiastes is one of the poetical books. If you have studied your Bible much or read your Bible much, it's poetical not because it rhymes or has a repeated rhythm of any kind, but in Hebrew, in this Hebrew Bible, it's rather this, that it's emblemic. I don't know if that's a real good word, but every word has meaning, and we have to find the meaning of the words if we understand poetical books. Over in chapter 1, he gives you the whole context of everything he's doing. Here's his reason for the experiment. The words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Down in 14 he said, I've seen the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I just made some notes. The under the sun, you'll see it 33 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And what it says is, what takes place in real life, what takes place where we live, to what takes place not in the halls of God, but what takes place in an ungodly, wicked world. Every one of us have come where He is. Somewhere in your life, you realize that life has to be more than getting up, going to work, coming home, watching television, going to bed, getting up, coming. Huh? You ever been there? There's got to be a purpose. There's got to be something going on. And his description of this life under the sun is, it's empty. There's no fulfillment in just living in the natural world. And that's the truth. He goes on to talk about vexation. He uses that word vexation 12 times in the first 6 chapters. And what he's talking about is trials and troubles and the emptiness that comes when you've earned... Tennessee Ernie years ago sung that song, 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. I mean, you work your fingers to the bone, and what do you have? Bony fingers. And that's what he is saying in this book. He's going to try all these different experiments that I talk about. And he comes up to say it's all vexation and vanity. And then you come to this. Here's his report. Now we're down to, in our text today, in chapter 11, he begins to make a report. And in this passage, what he is going to say is this. Somebody wrote that song and said, all that fills my soul is Jesus. Amen. The Quakers had a saying that said that every heart has a three-cornered hole in it, and a round world cannot fill it. What we've got to come to, every Christian has to get to this level. You know, we talked a lot about spiritual growth and sanctification this week in the classes. Maybe that's on my heart. But we've got to come to that place that we say, as he's going to say, that there's no answer in the natural world. There's only emptiness in the natural world. You try everything Hollywood's got. When you get through, you've got an empty bag.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I mean, you live it up. You make all the money, and one day you shoot yourself or overdose with drugs.
Right.
What did it accomplish? The only place of fulfillment for a Christian is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we have to come to that place that we say, I am satisfied with Christ.
Amen.
Only Jesus can satisfy my soul.
Amen.
And I'm willing to come down to God's path to be fulfilled. Look at verse 9. He said, rejoice, young man, in thy youth. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. I look at these young folks and think about those days when I was there and how the whole world was fresh and exciting and y'all all been there. You're either there now or you've been there. You either has been or I wish you were, one or the other. And so he says, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of your youth. Don't get off in the vanity. Let your heart be cheered. As we already said, it's only Christ. And walk in the ways of your heart. Give your heart to it. I'm going to say some more about that in a little bit. But he said, remember this, keep it in balance. God knows where you are right now. God knows how much temptation you face. God knows exactly where your life is. God knows how you live your life. And there's a judgment day that we all face what we do with it. I'm going to get to preaching on giving in a minute. But here's what he says in verse 10. When you come down to the end of it, here's the summation of it all. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. I've added bitterness, anger, malice, all those things that Paul adds in the remove it from your heart. Get out of it. Cheer up. Cheer up. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad there. I mean, we've got this day. May never have another day. May never. Cheer up. Then he says, and put away evil from thy flesh. I imagine there's several of us need getting these altars this morning clean up. Get some things confessed. Get right with God. Draw near to God. Get a hold of God. Clean up. And then he says down in verse 10, and put away childhood and youth, for they are vanity. Grow up. Grow up in the Lord. Look at verse, the teacher told us this week that these chapter headings are not inspired. The chapters and verses were put in there by men. Skip the chapter heading and come to verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth.
Amen.
Decisive action on your part because of another. Take action because what's done for Jesus is absolutely all that we'll ever. While the evil days come not, while the years draw nigh, while thou say, I have no pleasure in them. Serve God today. That's what he says. And then he comes down to this first statement of his conclusion. And he starts, listen to it. Cast thy bread on the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. I call this investment principles. And it's emblemic language. The bread, of course, Jesus said over in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. The bread is none other than the Lord Himself. Can you get the missionary message? Cast Him out there on the waters. And the waters, over in Revelation chapter number 17, verse 15, he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So cast him out there on the waters of the peoples and nations and tongues. That's what missions is all about. And then he said, and you'll find it after many days. You've invested. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running together, will men give to your bosom. That's right here in this world. That's before we ever get to heaven. Jesus promised his disciples 100-fold for any good work that they did for him. We can depend on that. That's a promise of God. And then we get to go to heaven. That's pretty hard to beat, that kind of an investment. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to go back and forth to there. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says it this way. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Over in Matthew, Jesus dealt with this same subject in chapter 6. Randy Alcorn wrote a little book he calls The Treasure Principle, based on these three verses. Verse 19 of chapter 6, Jesus said, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's the principles of the, here's the treasure principles of the verse. God owns everything. The tithe, you go to Malachi chapter 3, the tithe is already his. When we give him a tithe, we have not given him anything. We're only returning back a portion of what he gave us. The tithe was his to start with. And my heart, listen to it, out of the heart are the issues of life, he said. My heart goes where I put my money. But see, I'm only a money manager for God. He gives me what I have. And so my heart goes where I put his money. Y'all can say amen there. And he puts things, you see, we live for heaven, not for earth. Amen, Brother Wayne. I'm saved. I'm already over on the other side waiting on my brand new body. I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm saved. We live as if we're going to be here forever. Our life is a vapor. It just a few days and full of trouble, the Bible says. But we're going home to the long home. There's where the treasure ought to go, shouldn't it? Put your, my heart is where I put the treasure. And so my giving, all giving, any giving that we give to the Lord is an alternate to having things. This world is for things. Boats and guns and golf clubs and second homes and third or fourth cars and all of that stuff. That's what the world is for. Carpets and fixtures. And I was talking to a preacher here a while back, and he was moving out of his home and going by faith to into service into another area of ministry. I said, it's tough to leave your home, isn't it? He said, Brother Wayne, I learned a long time ago that God has treasures for me that far exceed my home. That if I could live for Him, my home is very little in the whole picture. For most of us, we can't say that. Most of us haven't got there yet. But it's truth. We live, see, and He prospers us so we can give more. And so, and here's what I want to preach to this morning. If I'll give Him my heart this morning and take hands off, take desires off, take the lust of my flesh off. Galatians chapter 5 talks about that, lust of the flesh and lust of the fruits of the Spirit. We either spiritual or flesh. That battle goes on every day. For just this hour, could you take hands off and just give your spirit over to Him and say, Lord, I was thinking about, when they were singing, I was thinking about that song that I heard one time that said, bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. And God just swelled up in me. This is, hey, until our heart is there, we're not there. Until we have given Him our heart, we're not ready for a faith promise. It's all a heart thing. That's the treasure principle. What you do out of your heart. If your heart's wrong, you're going to do wrong. If your heart's right, you can do right. That's as simple as I know how to make it. That's where He starts. He says, cast your bread. What bread you got? The Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your bread on the water. The waters of the world. Let it get it away from you. Go send it where it needs to be sent to do a work for Him. Well, I hope I can get some of that said. He said many days, and somebody sung it already this week. I think they did. They said, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. I was thinking about my own experience. 25 years, Susie and I went back and forth into Mexico. I found out folks in Mexico, I believe I was on the cutting edge of what God was doing in those days. That country is in turmoil today because but back in those days, those late, middle to late 70s, up through the 80s, the 90s, I could go in and I couldn't get any further than this in the message. They were running the aisles and shouting. We could go in and preach in a little old building like that choir there, and people would come and stand on the streets and look in the doors and the windows, hungry for the Word of God. And souls will be saved every service. Amen. I was preaching in Rio Bravo. The church was down on the street. The doors opened on the main street of the town. And first night I preached there, the preacher said, can you pull up here in this spot right here, Brother Wayne? I thought, man, they really honor the preacher around here. And I pulled up there. Then he said, can you pop your hood? And they clipped some wires on my battery and we run the lights off my battery. But God was there.
Amen.
God was in that place. Revival was on. And one night during that meeting in Rio Bravo, one of the streetwalkers came running through the door midways of the message. Pushed the people out of the way, had those high heels and tight pants on, and she ran down and slid into home base down here.
Amen.
Right in the middle of my message. I didn't even get to preach my message, Brother Mendoza. God was there.
Yes.
And I remember Humberto and Brother Juan Becerra. Juan Becerra was a missionary out of our church later. But I remember him saying the first time I came, or the first few times, "Thank you, gringos, for coming. Thank you for sending missionaries.
Amen.
Thank you. Humberto said I was a back alley drunk by the time I was 16 years old. But the American missionary came and preached the gospel.
Amen.
I wish I could give you all that story, but I can't. I don't have time. What I'm saying is there's somebody over there that'll say thank you.
Yes. Yes.
We need to get our hearts stirred.
Amen.
And I've already said the tithe belongs to the Lord, and Matthew chapter 12, I'm not going there, but Jesus stepped by the treasury and that woman threw in a farthing. Two farthings. She threw in two farthings. A farthing is 1/4 of a cent. It takes 4 of them to make a penny. She threw in 2 farthings, and Jesus said, as he watched them all throw in their offering, she'd given more than all of them because she gave what she had. We've all got more than we need. We got more than we can use. We foolishly spend what God has prospered us with. And somewhere over there, there's somebody that needs that gospel. So I want to say this. Faith promise begins with prayer. And it begins with sacrifice. Over in 9:7 he says, every man, and I'm in 2 Corinthians 9:7. 2 Corinthians 8:9-10 will define faith promise giving for you. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. As he purposeth in his heart, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I read a passage in a commentary this week that said that tithing is not taught in the New Testament. What a bunch of junk. There's things that we don't find. There's walking orders for our life we don't find in the New Testament. We live by the Bible. It's the Bible we live by. And 400 years before the law was ever given to Israel, Abraham paid tithes.
Amen.
And Jesus did say in Matthew to the Pharisees and Sadducees, you ought to do those things. You ought to pay those tithes. But don't neglect them, but don't let them go undone. I remember that day when that boy came in my office. He was just a young Christian. He'd been in the church 3 or 4 years. And he said, Brother Wayne, did you know that tithing's not in the New Testament? Well, skin flint, take your dollar and go down the street. That verse said God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Where are you going to start if you don't pay for tithing? What kind of tip do you give God? For he gave his only begotten son for you. What could you give?
Amen.
Where do you start? Get your heart right.
Amen.
He says over in... He over in Job chapter number 32, verse 8, he said, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Get inspired about it. Quit ho-humming on the missions giving. Get inspired about it. Hey, God's called this to order. God set this in our, it's in your Bible, it's in our hearts. Get it in your heart. I'm gonna be a heart-driven Christian or I'm gonna be a backslidden Christian, one or the other. Which is it? Where are you gonna be? Get inspired. Over there, I've already used this verse once this week, Nehemiah 2:2, the king said to Nehemiah, "How is it you're so sad and you're not sick?" And Nehemiah said, My heart was fearful. But the king saw on his face his heart. Have you got a heart? I mean, by that I mean, have you got a heart that's been born again? If you have, your heart ought to be stirred about those that do not know and have not heard the gospel. It ought to stir us. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, I won't even go there, but you can read it for yourself. In about verse 3, David said, "My heart is to the temple of God, the work of God, the will of God." Down about 14 of that chapter, he said, "God, look over here. I've given my gold, my silver, my treasures to you because I give it out of my heart." That verse said, God loves a cheerful giver. He said, you be moved in your heart. Be inspired. Inspired for giving. And then there's the performance of giving. I'm not going to go to these scriptures either, but I'm going to stay here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to this. "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower," I'm in 9:10. "Now he that ministers to the seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiplied your seed grown, and increased the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgivings to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant by many thanksgivings unto God." My giving is not just to a mission in Mexico or China or South America. My giving is unto the Lord. And it's the Lord that supplied, he said. It's God who's able. Caleb, Joshua chapter number 14, I'm not going to go there for time's sake. But in Joshua 14, he said, "I was 40 years old when God promised me that mountain." He said, "Now I'm 85, and I can do everything a 40-year-old could do. I've never been decreased in my abilities. I'm still going because I'm going for God." And he said, "I want my mountain. Give me my mountain, and by the help of God, I'll cast out the Canaanites." Amen. It's God that does it.
Amen.
We do nothing.
That's right.
Hey, hallelujah for 65 missionaries. Hallelujah for 6. But hey, that's nothing. I believe we ought to shoot for 100.
Amen.
God can do it.
Amen.
If we'll do it.
Amen.
If we'll do it, God can do it. God's able to do it. He can do it in ways we can't imagine. We had a bus girl, and she made her faith promise pledge. And then she came and said, "I've pledged a faith promise, and I don't know how I'm going to give it. I don't have any income, but I want to give something in faith promise." And my heart was stirred, and I wrote something on my card. I said, "Why don't you go talk to my wife?" And her and Susie came up with a scheme. If you need a scheme, well, Susie will help you. And that little girl sold marshmallow treats in the foyer on Sundays after the service so she could pay her faith promise. I was in a church in Austin. I probably told you all this before. After the service, I'd preached, and I was back in the foyer, and a little boy come out. His hands were filthy. I said, "How'd you get your hands so dirty?" He said, "Shining shoes." I said, "Where was your shining shoes at?" He said, "Back there in the men's bathroom." My righteous indignation got up. I said, "What in the world were you doing that for?" He said, "So I can pay my faith promise."
Amen.
God has a way of humbling you. There's a way if you got the heart for it. God will make a way. If you don't ever move, God won't move. But if you move, God will move. I could talk to any one of these missionaries that are sitting here, Brother Tunnel, or Brother Tom, Brother Thomas, or whoever, Brother Mendoza, ask them about it. They've had to leave some stuff and go to some ends. They've had to throw down some things that they would have liked to stay with, but God said, "No, let's go on." And God will work because of faith. That's the only language He speaks. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you don't make a faith promise, you haven't made a promise at all. Faith. Trust in God. He said, throw out your bread. We were building a building in Alvin by faith, and we determined we wouldn't go in debt. We were down to it, and in the middle of it, I had a charismatic barber. She had visited our church a time or two, but she said she didn't have liberty to shout and holler that she felt. She really had the liberty, but she didn't know it. Well, I don't mind a little shouting myself. I like it when God gets in the middle of it all. So if y'all want to shout, just go ahead. But I went to get a haircut, and she said, "Brother Wayne, I want to give you something for your building." I said, "Okay." She wrote a check. I put it in my pocket and went home. When I got home, I opened it up. It was a $10,000 check. She did that three times. Made me want to get a haircut every day. She did it three times while we were building our building. God's able. That's all I'm saying. God is able. He can do what we don't think He can do. And moving from verse 1 to verse 2, He says, "Give a portion to 7, also to 8. There's some unrecognized opportunities. I don't have time to go here. But over in Luke chapter 16, you see the rich man in hell begging for God to move and let Lazarus come with a touch of cold water on his finger. And here it is. That rich man already had opportunities. Lazarus been laying in his gate for a lifetime. And in his lifetime, the rich man bypassed Lazarus. If he had just stopped, old Lazarus could have told him about heaven. He was too busy faring sumptuously every day to reap the opportunity. We've got opportunities we don't even see. He said, "Give 7. 7 is the number of completion for the Jews. And I guess that's what he said, "Give 7. That'd be paying your tithes. And then giving 8, that's paying over. That's over the completion. It's giving extra above. The rich man. Verse 7 did say, verse 7 of our 2 Corinthians text, verse number 9 said, So let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God's able to make all grace abound toward you. Those unrecognized opportunities, those unfulfilled opportunities. Verse 3, 4, and 5 says, verse 3 says, empty yourselves. Said the clouds empty themselves. Christians ought to empty themselves. This is checkup time. That little card, that little faith promise offering card has no place for the pastor or the board or whoever they are to survey your heart.
That's right.
But as you pick that card up and look at it, you ought to survey your heart.
Amen.
Am I really doing what my heart says do? Or am I doing what the lust of my flesh says do? Where am I at? It's a heart thing or no thing. Faith promise means it comes out of my heart as a promise to God, not to the church, not to the leadership of the church, but to the Lord alone. My heart to His heart.
Amen.
A heart. He said, give all you can. So what that means, empty thyself. And give while you can, verse 4. He said, he that observes the wind shall not sow, he that regards the cloud shall not reap. And can I say there's always trials? There's always troubles. When you step by faith, there's always going to be an opposing force. And the devil will give you 100 reasons not to put anything on that card. But obey your heart. That's all I'm saying. And then he says in verse 5, he says, give when you don't understand it. Look at it. He says in verse 5, thou knowest not the way of the Spirit, or how the bones grow in the womb, or of her that is a child. Even so, knowest not the works of God who maketh all. So here's the newlyweds. They don't have a clue about raising children. They don't have a clue about... He's going to say, you don't know how God puts the bones together. You don't know how the Spirit is put into that little baby. You don't know anything about babies, newlyweds. But guess what? They have a baby anyway. They didn't understand it. I can remember the first time I held my firstborn. I was scared to death. I mean, back in those days, we didn't get to see them in the hospital. The man was run out. The second baby that had a big old burly nurse come in there, and she said, okay, get out of here. We'll call you when we need you. And she meant business. She'd have thrown me out, I guess. But at home, we took him home that day. And I'm holding a little old baby. I can hold him one hand. And that little soft spot's beating on top of his head. And as I looked at him, fear gripped my heart. How in the world will we ever get, how will we ever raise this baby? How will we keep him? How can we keep from breaking him? He'll break you if you get in his way today. He'll break me if I get in his way today. I didn't understand the first thing. But you know, within 3 months, I was the proudest papa in town. And I was enjoying all the blessings of a little baby in my home. Everybody came by, wow, what a pretty baby, wow. I remember one time my dad was preaching a meeting and we sat right here. I had on one of those hypocrite ties. Looks like a tie, but it's not a tie. And I had him in my arms. I was holding him, proud papa. Got into the message. That's while I looked and he was waving my tie to everybody. Wasn't a big deal. But it just says... I enjoyed my boy. I enjoyed my children. I don't understand. Still, I don't understand it. Sometimes I see mothers do things I don't understand, but I enjoy those babies. You may not understand a lot about the Bible, but you can. When your heart moves, you need to obey God. That's all I'm saying. While you can, when you don't understand, look here in verse number 6-9. In the morning, so thy seed, verse 6. Truly the light is sweet, verse 7. Verse 8, but remember the days of darkness. And the old song said, sowing in the morning, sowing in seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve. Waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves. Psalm 126:6. He that goes forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. Not one, or that one seed becomes 30, 60, or 100 seed. We have the promise of the increase if we give it. It's not an agricultural increase. It's a supernatural increase. God gives the increase. And so, sowing. Now I want to come down to the end of this thing in verse 9. He says rejoice. And then he says balance. And then he talks about the judgment. Sowing with expectation. 2 Corinthians 5:10, written to the church, says, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of every word and every deed done in this body. It's not a judgment of sin. Sin was judged at the cross. It's a judgment of our willingness to serve, our heart. Where's your heart, Christian? Where's your heart when it comes to lost souls that's never heard the name of Jesus one time? Where's your heart? And then there's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. And every work, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, it'll all be tried by fire. Some will be saved, yet so as by fire. Nothing to show. Just a pile of ashes for their life. But the gold, the silver, the precious stone. Over in Revelation chapter 5, I believe it is, he talks about those crowns that we cast at the Savior's feet. Somebody sent me a thing this week, and I had to take a second look at it. It was a notice of casting crowns was going to be at the State Fair of Texas. And at first I was still in Revelation 5, and I couldn't grasp it. Then I realized, some of y'all already know, that casting crowns is some music group that sings. And that's what they call themselves. So there's no judgment bar at the Texas State Fair. They're not over there yet. But wouldn't it be something? I've tried to preach on the judgment seat of Christ and missing the crowns. Every word, every deed, we give an account for. Wouldn't it be something when the Savior of all the world, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, sits on his throne. And we who have served and called him Lord here on this earth are in the crowd that comes and casts the crowns. Some guy's got 5 crowns. Some guy's got 4 crowns. Somebody's got 3 crowns. Somebody's got 2 crowns. And I'm standing there with no crowns. You want to be there? It's going to be mighty embarrassing. I hear my grandpa, grandkids over in the background. Grandpa didn't get a crown for soul winning. I don't want to be there. They think he's a man of God. They think he lives for God. I want to, that day, when that day happens, I want them to be able to say, that's my grandpa. I wish you'd have known him when he was in his prime. Huh? I've got a grandpa like that. I've got a dad like that. Wish you'd have heard him preach. I'll never preach like he preached. But the goal is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Read over there. Read that parable of the pounds sometime. Where the Lord gives a pound and a pound and a pound. And one guy's pounds gained 10 pounds and one guy's pounds gained 5 and then one guy had buried his pound. Where are you at with your pound? God saved you to bring glory to Himself. Where are you at with your pound? Well, this little card that we're going to fill out, and this, you say, well, I don't have anything. I bet you have more than that little bus girl. She filled out her card, and God allowed her to give. You get a heart for it, God will allow you to give too. He'll bless your giving. Sowing with expectation. We come down to the end of it. It won't be an inspection of the faith promise offering. It'll be an inspection of what we've done for Jesus. It's all that'll last. I'm asking you this morning, get inspired in your heart. If there's no inspiration, ask God to help you. And then give according to the treasure of your heart. No more, no less. Just give what God's put on your heart. That's the message. Somebody said, well, I never ever heard about a message just on giving money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your heart. If your heart's right, your money will be right. See, when he saved this heart, he got this suit. He got these pants. He got the billfold that's in the pants. It's all his. I don't own anything. It all belongs to him. Everything I am is him. And one day I'll give an account for what I've done with him. Is that you? If that's not you, let me say this. Before you can ever give a faith promise offering, you just need to give a faith offering. That is, give Him yourself.
Amen.
Give Him your heart. Just come and confess yourself unworthy and give your heart to Him and let Him make and do and be in all that you do from this day forward. Let Him be your Lord, your Savior. Then you can give. Let's stand. Father, I pray you've had your way here this morning. I pray, God, that your will be done in these services today. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for saving us, keeping us. Thank you for the message of the gospel. How that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Lord, I thank you that you've given us opportunity to come and confess Him and live for Him. I pray, Lord, that one that does not know you today would come right now and just accept Him as their own personal Savior. Trust Him by faith and know that He'll receive and saved to the uttermost. God, I pray about us as we search our hearts about this thing of missions giving. Lord, do your work. Bless. according to your will. Help this church, help us as a church to realize we're the vessel that pours into Lake Worth, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, into Texas, and in around the world. God, help us to be a worthy vessel. Help us to come to the well, be filled with that water, and then poured out for your honor, your glory. Thank you for meeting with us this week. Thank you for today. Help us to glorify your name above all the earth. Thank you for Jesus. In his great name, that blood-stained name, I pray. Amen. Brother John.
Page 219.
While we're singing, some are already in the altars. Why don't you come? God's speaking to your heart. Why don't you come? Get inspired. Let God move your spirit. Let God work in you. Let God be God in your heart today. Would you come?
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
I need to say I'll go.
Does the place
I wanna go.
You're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame.
Come on.
There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated, dear church. Thank you, Brother Hudson. Tremendous, tremendous message from the Word of God today. So thankful. He deals with our hearts. Our hearts. When God deals with our hearts, everything else is taken care of. If we're willing to let Him have His way, indeed, as we've just sang. When I asked the men to come and prepare to hand out our faith promise cards, and if you got the little booklet this week that had the notes and so forth in it, on the back cover of it, it says, "Why should I consider making a faith promise for missions?" Something I put together probably 25 years ago, and the truth of it hasn't changed at all, and hopefully you read that.
But one of the main reasons for being involved in Faith Promise is to see God use us in a special way. See God deal with us. See how He'd be pleased to bless as we give by faith. Giving, our giving needs and must be by faith. You can come ahead, men. Come to the front, if you would, the men with the cards. Just bring your cards at this point. Men are going to come and hand out the Faith Promise cards to the congregation. Whether it be as a family or as individuals, that's up to you to determine. You know, I was familiar with an old preacher. And I asked him one time, I said, "Preacher, why do you drive such a beat-up old truck?" And he said to me, he says, "Well, son, I could drive a nice new truck." Wait a moment, guys. I could drive a nice new truck, no problem. But if I go buy that new truck, and he says that, frankly, I could buy the newest truck in Texas. I could buy the nicest truck in Texas. He says, but driving that new truck wouldn't get missionaries to the field. Boy, he hit me right between the eyes. What's more important? What we drive around in, maybe to and from work or whatever it is, or seeing missionaries on these foreign fields. Seeing missionaries being out and planting churches far and wide, even here in the United States. And as we hand out these cards in a moment, I'm asking you to prayerfully, and Brother C.R., I need one. Brother Hudson walked off with mine. He needs one too, though. That's good. And as Brother Hudson mentioned a moment ago, just please go ahead, men, now and go through the congregation here. And everybody needs one of those cards. Just please raise your hand, and I trust that you'll take one. From the youngest to the oldest, can be involved in Faith Promise. It isn't the amount that matters as much as you being right with God and letting God speak to your heart about this thing. And as you see, as Brother Hudson mentioned, there's no place for your name on here. Just for that amount that God would lay on your heart to be involved in sending the gospel to the othermost parts of the earth. As I shared last Sunday, Metropolitan Baptist Church, in totality, finances our missionary effort through what comes in through our Faith Promise offering. And we do support 70, 71 missionaries. I like it to be 100. There is no lack of excellent missionaries that need support to get to that place that God's laid on their heart. And as we give faithfully, God will be pleased to use us. You say, "I don't know what to put down on this card." Well, that's why I've been begging you to pray for a long time. Because I want God to convey to you what you should be doing to reach the world for Christ in this matter of our finances. I'm going to pray. The guys have handed out the cards. I want to pray. You've got to be pleased to direct each of us exactly as He would have. Father, we bow before You. Thank You for the Word of God as we've heard it this morning. Thank You that You'd be pleased to use Your servant once again. Your Word, the precious Word of God, to speak to our hearts. And Father, as we be prepared to receive this Faith Promise offering, indeed a promise of what we will give by faith through our church in the coming year, Lord, please direct each one that took one of those cards. Pray, Father, for our church family. I love this church, Lord. I love Your people. And I pray in Jesus' name that You'd be pleased to use us as an assembly, as a congregation, to be involved in the greatest cause on this earth planet, to send the precious seed of the gospel to hearts near and to hearts far. Lord, please, accomplish your perfect purposes and designs for each of us, for each family, each individual. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and mark these cards as God would direct you. Amen. Man, you want to come back? As they come back and be prepared to receive these cards. You know, I fill out this card for 40-some years. Put an amount on there each of those years. And when you give, whether it's your tithe or your missions giving, you're giving part of your life. You go out to that job and you clock in and you work and you receive a wage. It's time, beloved. It's resources. It's part of you. And so as you give, you're giving part of you. You're returning to the Lord as He's been pleased to give to you through the resources of your life. It's how He works it. And I trust that God's going to bless in a beautiful, beautiful, special way this year. Brother Jeff, would you come receive mine? Bless. Receive those cards, please. They're receiving those cards. The ladies are in the back in the gym. They're getting that food all ready for you and I to enjoy. Thank you, all you ladies, bringing in. And we're going to go back, gather around the table, and enjoy the blessings of God's abundance. Just a little preview. Last Thursday night, I got to our daughter's house. She had supper ready for us, and she pulled this masterpiece out of the oven, and she held it up and she showed to Pop, Dad, look what I made. And it was a big old meatloaf, but it wasn't just a meatloaf. It was wrapped in bacon. I looked at Marcia and I said, we're taking that to the covered dish next week. So if I look a little anxious to get back there, you understand why. Brother Thomas helped us put that thing together last night. He says, this is going to become a family tradition at our house. Amen. Thank you so much. Love my church. I love you folks. Such an honor to be the pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church. The missionary heritage of this church is known far and wide. It's because people are willing to give. They're willing to be part of what God is pleased to do. It's an honor. The potential of this church is amazing. Potential far greater than this preacher for sure. And so thank you. Thank you for each one that would be pleased to give and to serve our God. What an honor. Let's stand together. John, you know your job. He comes, he prays, and he leads us in a chorus, and we make our way to the food. I saw a T-shirt yesterday. I loved it. It said, Bacon, America, great again.
Let's sing our chorus, then we'll have our word of prayer. Victory in Jesus.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we thank You for the message Brother Wayne brought this morning. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to have a heart for missions, Lord, a heart for souls, not only to give financially, but also to give our lives, to surrender our lives in the way that you would have us to be used, Lord. Lord, help us to be a clean vessel, one that you would use, be willing to use for your service. We thank you for the opportunity that you give us to serve and for us to be a part of service to you. Lord, we ask you'll bless this food, bless the remainder of the day. May your perfect will be done. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.